Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit hansonmclean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Welcome to our program, both myself and my co-host here. We are financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our days working with people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And this is a special program for Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
You know how Thanksgiving, a lot of times you'll go and travel and spend time with family and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Well, Pat and I do the same. So this is a...
Oh, it's recorded.
This is a best of program today. So the calls are a best of. But
at some points in time, I wish I was actually in the studio doing the show live over the Thanksgiving weekend.
Instead of spending time with family?
Yeah, it was based on any of the previous Thanksgivings.
Most family's good to hang out with.
Sometimes, a little while.
There's always a little some sort of drama.
Yeah.
Actually. There's a couple people in my life at Thanksgiving that in the holidays that can cause a little.
Unfortunately, drama. None of them listen to your show. So, or they do and they'll have to guess which one they are.
No, trust me, these guys wouldn't think it would be them. That's part of the issue. Anyway, this is a best of program, so we're going to hear some of our best of calls. But if you want to be part of a future program, call us anyway. Give us a call right now if you're thinking about the show and think, I've got this question. Give us a call. We'll schedule a time when you can call and we'll take your call. So to be part of our program for a future date for recording, 1-888-2-HANSON is the contact number here. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766. And let's start right off with calls. We're in Colorado with Abe.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Abe.
What can we have for you?
Yeah, so I'm in a situation where I think I'm pretty well set up for retirement under normal circumstances. However, I was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and that is a little uncertain of what my future will lie, lies ahead of me. So I guess my general question is recommendations on how to manage my portfolio or my investments in general, knowing that the length of time I can work is a little uncertain, and then obviously there'll be some increased medical expenses post.
How old are you, Abe?
48.
And tell us about your life a little bit. Are you married with children?
No, I'm single, no kids.
Okay. What do you owe on your home?
Well, I actually have an extensive real estate portfolio. I own three duplexes, all of which have a mortgage tied to them. But I estimate I have about $800,000 in equity.
And what's the overall value? What do you have in loans, and what's the overall the market value of these duplexes?
Good question. I have that right here for you. I have estimated the market value to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.8 million. And I owe about...
About a million.
Let's see. Yep, about a million.
And these are outside of your primary residence?
Well, I live in one side.
Got it.
And yep.
And do you have any plan to get these paid off?
Well, I was thinking about recasting one that has the lowest balance and paying that off, and then leveraging that cash flow out of that unit to try to pay off the other units as more quickly than I would normally.
And are the interest rates all fairly similar?
Yes.
Okay, and what is the interest rate?
Right around just under 4%.
And how much do you earn at your job?
About 150.
And what do you have in your 401k?
I have 500,000.
Yeah, well, you've done well getting some money saved up.
And do you have a living trust in place?
I do not.
Okay.
I would. So if I were in your situation, I would focus on getting these duplex. I mean, you don't know what your future's like, right?
Yeah, and
you might be able to. I work 25 more years, and maybe who knows?
Everyone's journey in Parkinson's is different. The diagnosis and the onset comes in every form possible. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
We don't know really how many more years you've got to work, right?
Correct. That's the unknown factor.
Yes.
Based on your discussions with your doctors, what is kind of a worst case scenario as far as number of years working?
Well, worst case scenario is I'm not working anymore. I was diagnosed 5 years ago.
So, 5 years ago.
So they say originally 5 to 10 years you can maintain a job. I'm still working at a high level of productivity now. So I've got at least another 5 more years in me.
I would work on getting the loan balances on these duplexes as low as possible.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you hit the point where suddenly you can no longer work, then you want to recast those, whatever debt's still on there, as long as possible. Because at that point, you can care less getting it paid off. You want cash flow.
Right.
Right now, you want to get those things paid off. So way you've got the most amount of equity, which generates the most amount of cash.
I agree with that. And I put a living trust in place. And now where they have the electronic stimulus surgery, right? The longer you wait, the better that stuff becomes.
Right, but that's $150,000 right there.
Yeah. But it's absolutely can be absolutely life changing. So my wife and I support the Lou Ruvo Brain Institute in Las Vegas, Nevada. They do great work with the Cleveland Clinic. About Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. So if you've ever get a chance to do some research or visit their website, it's the Lou Ruvo, R-U-V-O Brain Institute in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Thank you. I'll take note of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the concept of just, let's just focus on getting this thing.
I like it as
well. Don't live like a pauper now.
That's it. That's what the hard part is, right?
Life at the same time.
Absolutely.
You got to strike that balance.
So. What about cashing out of the market? Like, the market's been going crazy for a few years.
What percentage do you have in stocks?
It's mostly stocks.
And so most 48-year-olds that say perfect. Keep it on stocks. We don't care what the value is.
Yeah, but I would probably have my portfolio probably 60% equities and 40%.
Yeah, I would probably have to scale it back a bit just in case, let's say 5 years from now you can't work and you need to start taking some income from that.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know if we have 5 more years of work or if you have 15 more years of work.
And that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Both the emotional part of the disease and also from a financial planning.
Yeah. And with some days you probably say, well, why am I saving any money at all? Right.
Yeah. I question why I'm going into the office. You know?
Yeah. Some days
I should be traveling the world.
Right. I mean, that's, not knowing the future is actually, probably sometimes better than knowing the future. So that's a balance you need to strike. So I would probably reallocate the 401k 60-40. I don't think I'd go much more than 70-30.
Yeah, I would agree with Pat.
And my heart goes out for you because you're a young man. You're 48 years of age, and so it's hard to strike that balance. What am I saving for? What's the point? Well, maybe it'll be super, super important that you have that money in 20 years, or maybe it won't. But what they do know is with Parkinson's, are you a bicyclist? Are you a cyclist?
I am actually.
All right. And you've read the research on cycling and how it delays the progression of the Parkinson's disease. You've probably done.
I actually teach a spin class for fellow Parkinson's.
It's amazing that twitch muscle actually on the brain development and is keeping it healthy it's an amazing concept. So,
But boxing as well.
Yeah, actually, I have a client that has Parkinson's that boxes,
really?
And she's in her 70s. She's in her 70s. She boxes a couple times a week.
It's any high intensity exercise that your callers are care or you care. It's any high intensity exercise really helps out. Helps with the conditions.
My understanding though is it has to be an exercise that actually is fairly when you say high intensity. It also has to draw the hand and the muscle coordination to the brain. Correct.
Oh, that's part of it, yes. And also, actually, if you do math problems while you're exercising, it's even better for you.
Yeah, those are hard.
Isn't that funny? You know what? You know what's funny, Abe, is I actually, I cycle, and I like to ride long distances and relatively slow, but I took all the measuring things off my bike, the ones that would tell you miles per hour and how far you've ridden, because when I would ride, I would do math problems in my head the whole time by looking at the meters. And I thought it ruined my bike rides for me because the whole time I'd be doing math and my job requires math. So.
Right.
All right, Abe. Good luck
appreciate
to you
the call.
On this. And,
appreciate the call.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Hope this helps.
Thanks for your help.
All right. You know what's interesting, Pat, is in many aspects, we're all in Abe's position. We don't know.
Yes.
Right? And we've certainly seen enough people at Hanson McLean over the years that have had a job where they're like, I've got 7 more years. And it's like doing time. They hate it.
I ran into a guy from high school recently and I said, how you doing? He said, I get to retire in 7 years, 4 months, and 3 days. And I thought to myself, oh, how miserable.
And we've worked with lots of people with looking at their financial planning of trying to get that balance between today and the future. Yes, we need money when we're 85.
Probably need money when we're 85.
Probably. But if you're not digging if your job is miserable today, maybe you look at doing something different, even at a lower pay, and push out that retirement instead of 7 years. Maybe it's 12 years.
You only have one life. And
we don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. We only have one life. And while money is important to that life, it's the way you store your labor. It isn't the only thing.
Let's head back to the calls. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. And continuing, we're going to talk with Nancy. Nancy, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Nancy.
I watch you guys, or I listen to you guys every Saturday.
Oh, thank you.
Without fail.
Oh, thank you.
Well, my husband and I are having a disagreement, so I thought maybe I'd ask your opinion on something.
He's wrong.
Oh, thank you.
As usual.
He wants to start withdrawing money from our IRA. We have like $750,000 combined in it. I'm 63 and he's 64. We're both retired and our income right now is like $50,000 a year, so we're not paying very much in taxes. And that's his concept is, okay, well, it's low. We might as well start withdrawing. But when we're in our 70s and we have to withdraw, our income's not going to be that much higher, you know, with 2% cost of living increases. He has Social Security and I have CalPERS. Now, my issue is if something happens to him and he passes away, because of the windfall tax elimination, I'm only going to get like maybe $300 or $400 of his Social Security a month.
Yeah.
So my income's going to drop way down. And so that's why I think we should wait.
Let me ask you one question. What do you have as far as savings outside of your IRA?
About $40,000. But 40, our house is all paid off.
Okay.
Yeah, our house is totally paid off.
So why does he want to take these distributions? Does he want to spend them or does he want to save them?
He just thinks that we're going to be paying a lot more in taxes on it if we wait. And I say it's going to be a wash. It's not going to make that much of a difference.
I agree with you on that.
You are right. And the show, I would make every argument in the world for your position over his.
I would too.
Okay,
if you want to do anything because you're in a low tax bracket, you can convert a portion to a Roth each year. And that's why we asked how much you have in additional savings and you don't have all
only 40.
Yeah.
Don't have that much.
Yeah. Cause your house is paid off and everything else. If you had a bunch of money, then I'd say this would make a lot of sense. Do you plan on staying in California forever?
Yeah. Our family's here.
Yeah.
So, I could do the math. We could do the math and see if a Roth conversion makes sense. Are you of the same ages?
Yes, he's only a year older than I am.
Okay.
Here's what I would recommend. Tell him right now, let's don't do anything. But later in the year, come fall when the dust settles in some of the new tax law, just do a little what-if scenario. Do you do your own taxes or do you?
TurboTax, yeah.
Okay. Then when TurboTax comes out with their 2018 tax program, just say, what happens if we put $10,000 into a Roth? How would this impact our taxes?
But what you don't know, Scott, what you don't know is his life. We're going to assume he has a normal life expectancy and that you're going.
Well, I'm talking about putting into a Roth.
Understand.
Instead of spending it.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to spend it. If you pull the money out and spend it, that'd be a terrible idea. But you could.
Well, unless you needed the money. The $50,000 of income. You could make an argument why a small distribution from this would help if they needed the money.
Yeah.
But if you don't need the money.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
So far, no.
But the windfall elimination provision actually is the thing that scares me on the back end of Nancy's.
Yes.
If he was to predecease Nancy. So you could, I agree with Scott, you do a little what if on the taxes to determine whether a Roth conversion makes sense
or not. Which would satisfy he's concerned about required minimum distributions at 70.5 and then 75 and 80. You're not so much. But if you converted some to a Roth, that would reduce that, which would satisfy his concern.
And allow the taxes, the dollars to grow tax.
And satisfy your concern about him passing away and you needing the dollars because the dollars aren't being spent.
Yeah.
So that's the one I would look at. I agree with Scott.
So, okay. So would I take it out of his IRA?
Oh, of course. Use his.
Yeah. But it
don't
doesn't
touch really, your, don't does, touch your money.
It doesn't really matter,
okay. Kitty.
It doesn't really matter. But you would take it out of the older of the
doesn't
two.
Matter.
You would take it out of the older.
Okay.
The
older of the two. Whoever's oldest is where you'd start. And always spend his money first.
Yeah. That's just a rule.
That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin.
Bye-bye. Nancy.
And continuing with Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Remember, this is a best of show on this Thanksgiving weekend.
Which means the best of the best.
Oh, the best. Let's go to San Jose and talk with Mary. Mary with Hanson McLean.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. So my question is, I'm pushing 60. I'm 59 years old. I am out of job now, but I'm hoping to get another job soon. I own a property that I'm renting. It's worth near, let's say, $1.9 million.
Okay.
And I owe on it like $370,000.
Okay.
My rent pays for its payment, tax, and everything, and it gives me like, I guess near 2,000 in cash, a little less than 2,000.
So what is the Mary? What's the gross amount that you receive in rent
per month?
About 4,500.
Okay.
4,500 per month. Yeah. So, and I have a condo that I bought 3 years ago. It has appreciated about, I want to say, 150,000 on it. I owe on that condo 270,000.
And what's the value of the condo?
I want to say 550.
Okay. Keep going.
So my question is, shall I cash out some of my 401k and pay off my both properties? Or shall I sell my condo, take the cash, and pay towards my house and move back to my house?
What is your plan? You know, so here's an interesting thing, Mary. You are in probably the most expensive real estate market in the country, right? San Jose's gone nuts.
Yeah.
You paid, when did you, your condo's worth 550 today. What did you pay for it 3 years ago?
370-ish.
All right, 370 and it's worth 550.
Wow.
In 3 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not going to see the same appreciation of this magnitude going forward. It's impossible, mathematically impossible. So you've had a tremendous run up, right? And the $1.9 million home, how big a home is that?
Well, it's a four-bedroom, two-bath. Less than 2,000 square feet.
Less than 2,000 square feet. Probably a 40-year-old, 50-year-old ranch house or something?
Yeah.
For $1.9 million.
And tell us how much you have in your 401k. What's the...
I have less than a million. I have about 700.
Okay, and so you said you're leaving one job and wanting to start another one. Elaborate on that.
I'm hoping. I'm applying.
Do you want to do that? Do you want to continue to work?
I got laid off. That's what I'm asking you. I like to. Yes, I want
like
to
keep working.
Okay.
Yeah, so because if we just do some quick numbers, you're worth about $2.5 million. Just adding up these three assets. Is that right?
Less the debt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The one challenge, so I think your original question was, should I take the money in my 401k and pay off the mortgages? While that can be tempting to do, the challenge with that is if you cash in your 401k, it'll be like you earned $700,000 in one calendar year.
So we know the answer to that is probably not.
No, because your tax rates would be ridiculous.
But the bigger question is, what are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to achieve? Do you want to stay in the San Jose area? Do you want to?
Because I know there's a lot of Mary. We talked to a lot of people in your position. They're like, holy smokes, I've made so much money in real estate. Why don't I go move somewhere a little different? I don't have to move that far even to get a much better valuation in real estate, and then I'm financially set.
I don't want to pay a lot of taxes, and I don't want to move away from here.
Okay, well, the first answer is you don't want to move away from there. So the second answer to the question is, do you liquidate the 401k to pay these off? The answer is no, you don't want to do that. Do you move from?
You could just take your 59, almost 60, so if you're 59 and a half, you can take money out of your 401k as needed right now to bridge it over until you get another job.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that.
I have to pay taxes on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to pay taxes.
Much less than...
And the rules with 401k is different from an IRA, which is from a 401k, if you're 55 or older in the year in which you separate from service from a job, there's no penalty taking the money out of a 401k.
Even if you're not 59 and a half.
If you're 59 and a half... and the money's in an IRA, you can take money without a penalty. And you said you're 59 pushing 60. It doesn't matter as long as you're over age 55 when you separate from service.
Yeah.
So I would not look to drain the 401k to pay those mortgages
Actually,
off.
I would agree with Pat. What I would consider doing, if I were in your situation, I would consider doing an exchange on your rental home. Was that was your primary residence?
Yeah. Not anymore. Okay. It's been rented for the past 3-4 years.
Okay. I would, if it were me, because you're getting, if you look at the gross yield, $4,500 a month on a, let's call it $2 million, that's a 2.25% yield for a real estate yield. That is really low.
Yeah, it's extremely low.
So in other words, you're not getting very much rent relative to how much, what the value of that property is. If it were me, I'd look at exchanging that into some other markets, maybe have 4 rentals and have a property manager. You could have much more cash flow out of that.
Or Scott, selling it outright, paying the taxes on it and living on it, paying the...
She just said she didn't want to pay the taxes.
I know no one wants to pay the taxes. Have you met anyone ever that wanted to pay the taxes?
No, but I've certainly had enough people who called right before the financial crisis and didn't want to pay taxes on their real estate.
Yeah.
Only wish they had later.
Well, in terms of paying taxes, I have a lot of capital losses back in the day.
Mary, you know what you'd be best served with? You really should sit down with a good certified financial planner who can help you kind of map out what are Mary's options right now, right? Because you've got a number of them in front of you. So, and I think you called, should I take the 401k, cash it in, and pay off the house?
That's just
not going to work because the way the tax laws work. But I think you should look at a number of different options. And then you could go back and then you could say, which one's going to work best for me? That's what we'd highly recommend.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But do not cash out that 401k to pay off those loans. That is a certainty.
Well, I wasn't going to cash it all at once. I was going to take like $20,000, $30,000 a year and just pay off loan, the bill, and then, until I'm
Well, it might make sense. It all depends on what your work's going to be like. So if you're planning on going back, like I said, I really think you'd benefit sitting down with a financial advisor.
I agree with Scott.
We've got couple great advisors in the Bay Area if you want to chat with one of us or talk with someone else you know. But hey, Mary, we appreciate the call. We wish you most of success. You know what's interesting, Pat? If home values have gone in parts of the Bay Area, San Francisco, San Jose,
crazy. I feel like I've seen this movie before. Do you ever feel that way?
I was talking to a buddy the other day. I said, he's actually in the construction trades for building apartments in the Bay Area, right? Throughout the Bay Area. And I said, it'll be interesting what happens when technology goes through another recession. Because it has.
It will.
Nobody knows when, right?
But it will again.
Everything goes through their cycles.
Yes.
What impact that could have on real estate prices.
Scott, especially if you see what some of these technology stocks are trading at versus their revenue, not even their earnings.
Well, when you've got a roughly $2 million house that rents for $4,500 a month, there's a little imbalance. Anyway, appreciate the call. We're going to take a quick break. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. This is a best of program on this Thanksgiving weekend. We're about to listen to some more best of calls. But also, hey, go to our website. There's an article that a lot of people have been downloading. Your 2019 taxes, 4 things to do now. So HansonMcLean.com, you will find that article. Again, your 2019 taxes, 4 things to do now. Let's go and listen to some of the best of calls. We're talking with Dan. Dan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How you doing, Dan?
Well, I'm good. I have a question in reference to my wife's IRA and Roth IRA and her pension. She just got severance from her job after 31 years. And we're kind of scared because now she's 58 and I'm 56 and we're in a place where we wasn't expecting to be, so quickly.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, makes you feel any better, there's roughly, depending on which study, 48%, 51%, roughly half of us go into retirement earlier than we'd planned, either because of a health issue or a job change.
Or a family health issue.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual that you find yourself in this situation.
Probably a few years earlier than you'd have liked, is my guess, right?
Yes, definitely. Because she was going to go until she was, another year and a half until she's 59 and a half, to where she can start using her pension and retirement. But now we have to survive, a year and a half on just my salary.
No, well, slow. That may not, in fact, be the case. So let's roll this out. So tell us about your financial situation. And then, because there are ways that she can get at her 401k and IRA prior to 59 and a half without paying penalties.
And the 401k, pretty easy.
Easy on the 401k. So roll out your financial situation.
Okay. She has about a little over 500 in her 401. She has just over 100 in her pension from her work. And then she has a small Roth IRA of about 20.
And what do you have?
I just have my salary of 110. So,
okay. And what was her income?
She was about 60.
And do you owe anyone any money?
We just have our credit cards and we lease our car. No, that's about it.
Is the house paid for?
No, actually, we just refinanced it because I'm redoing our kitchen.
Got it. And what's the value of the home?
The value of the home actually just got appraised at 417.
And what do you owe on it?
290-something.
And when do you plan on retiring?
Well, I really like my job and my health isn't too bad. I want to work another 10 years.
And okay. Does she plan on going back into the workforce?
I really don't want her to, but she'll probably go stir crazy.
And how long is her severance for?
Well, she got almost a full year of severance package at one time.
Okay, and you said that $100,000 in the pension, that's a lump sum. That's not a stream of payments. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Cash balance plan, probably.
Yeah, we're going to try and roll it into her 401.
Okay, So let's just start with the basics, the rule. You can take money out of a 401k without penalty as long as you're over age 55 and you've separated from service. So
you can take money from that employer's retirement plans,
that
their 401k and that pension.
Correct. On both those.
Not so, an IRA, though.
Right. So there's the big distinction. If you're age 55 or older in the year in which you separate from service, that 401k has no penalties on it getting at those dollars. It you'll pay taxes on it, but most people think, as you may have by the question you asked, the rule is 59 and a half. It's only 59 and a half if it actually goes into an IRA. But as long as it's at the 401k, it's like having money in the bank. You can pull the money out. You're going to pay taxes on it. The plan may have some. What's that?
The Roth, isn't it post-tax? So
yeah, but we're not talking about the Roth. We're talking about her company 401k. There she has.
Okay.
She's got the $500,000 there.
We're talking about why it doesn't matter if she's 58 or 59 and a half.
It doesn't matter. It makes no difference whatsoever. So you don't have to wait until you're 59 and a half to take money out of that 401k at all. She could go in. Now, the plan may have restrictions that may allow her only to take it out once, twice, three times, four times a year. Every plan is a little bit different, but there's no restrictions on that.
So here's how I would view it, right? So here's the, she's probably freaked out, 31 years at a company, planning on working a few more years, suddenly finds herself out of work, right? And she's thinking, oh, crud, yeah. I can't, if I was 59 and a half, at least I'd have some flexibility. You're saying, yeah, this is bad. I like my job. I make a good pay. I'm going to continue working another 10 years. Yeah, she's probably going to go back to work. She's going to go stir crazy. But at the time, right now, there's this uncertainty, this cloud's like, oh no, what if I don't get a job? What if I can't find a job I like? All those things, I'm sure, going through her head after 31 years with the company would be very challenging. But rest assured, you have access to those 401k dollars and that pension dollar at any time.
At any time.
You don't have to wait to 59 and a half. As long as you don't take those dollars and roll them into an IRA, as long as they remain at the company, she could take money out of them today, next month, this fall, next January, and have the cash flow that way.
But so in terms of that, she's fine. And you have a year severance. So you're shell shocked right now.
Yeah, that's what this is.
That's what's happening. Basically,
it is.
Yeah, I get it. I feel for you.
What you really need to do is actually sit. You need to go through a financial planning process.
And see what
the long term situation looks like. Right. That's what you need to do. That go through that process. Because right now, you know, she could go back. Let's say she went back to work and got another job that paid exactly the same amount of money that she's making now. In 3 years from now, if you both decided to leave the workforce, you'd be in the same situation. You'd be saying, do I have enough money to retire? And you may or you may not have enough money to retire. I don't know, right? You've done well. There's $600,000 in IRAs and 401ks and Roth IRAs. That's good. But you need to actually go through the those numbers on the 7 personal decision points. So if you go to our website,
everybody has that bubble of $1 million to retire on.
Let me tell you something. I don't know where that $1 million came from. I have clients that couldn't in their whole lifetime retire on $1 million, and I have other clients that can retire nicely on $250,000. And if you met them, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, right? Because oftentimes, you know, you look at people and it's big hat, no cattle. It's hard to tell, but it's not so much you have, it's what goes out. It's what goes out. It is the most important thing is how much is going.
So we could withdraw from her monies to pay the credit cards down, even pay, you know, all the cars off to where we have no outlay.
Yes, but may or may not be the right thing because the tax is imposed on withdrawal.
Yeah, yes. Because
you'd be adding that on top of her severance and your pay.
Right. So
maybe you do that in January.
Maybe you do it in January, depending upon whether she's gone back to the workplace or not. I don't know if I would do it now, especially if the severance was paid out in a lump sum.
I think probably the shell shock, it's just like, here's the severance. And when you get a severance, you end up getting taxed pretty heavily on it because they withhold heavily on it. So you end up with, like, it doesn't really feel like a year's worth pay, right? And there it sits and thinking, well, this will be fine for a few months, but what happens then? What happens next January and February? And what happens next year? And what if I can't ever get a job that I enjoy? And now my retirement's gotten all those sort of things. So I would agree with Pat. I really think sitting down with a financial advisor and putting together a good retirement plan would make some sense for you. We also, on our website, we've got an emergency retirement guide. It's a tutorial, some sort of online guide that you can download. And it kind of walks through some of these things. What happens if, boom, suddenly you find yourself retired? Because, right, half of us.
The reason we created this tutorial retirement guide is because we've seen it.
We see it too often. It's common.
Most people are fine, by the way.
And I wish your wife were on the line and could hear her conversation because my guess is that she's stressed right now. And
she's losing sleep over it, guys.
Yeah.
After 31 years.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but you know what? She may not need to lose
I don't think
any
she does.
Sleep.
No, I mean, she doesn't.
She may not ever have to go back to work. You guys might be just fine, right? But what
maybe she could afford to get a job that pays half what she made before.
Yeah, and maybe. But what we don't want to do is start doing knee jerk reactions like taking money out of a 401k in order to pay down a car and some credit card debt and find ourselves in a higher tax bracket because of what we did. That isn't the way we want to address that. What we want to do is take a comprehensive approach. So go to HanselMcLane.com and download the Emergency Retirement Guide. And then you might want to watch the 7 Personal Decision Points video.
I think it'd be a good advisor. Obviously, we are biased about our advisors. We think we got a team of great advisors. But I really think a qualified financial advisor to sit down and go through these numbers, I think it would help you and particularly your wife tremendously just going through the process and seeing what the options are. Because right now she's probably just thinking, if I don't find another job, and she starts thinking about the worst. Next thing you know, you're evicted from the house. What happens if Dan gets sick and he loses his job too? And next thing you know, now we're going to be in our tents down at Discovery Park.
I don't think she brought it that far though, Scott.
I'm in construction, so I mean we do know how volatile that can be, but I'm pretty sure my job. It's just if something happens, come up in a couple of dinner talks. What happens if?
Well, that's
what you go through that. Download the retirement guide, emergency retirement guide.
Go visit a retirement. And glad you called, Dan. So appreciate the call. And Pat, maybe I was taking things to extreme, but
it happens
sometimes in the middle of the night. That's when people tend to get stressed a lot and you kind of start thinking about the worst. And when there's financial insecurity, something like this, and one of the reasons we encourage people to come to one of our workshops on retirement transition, we encourage people to meet with an advisor before retirement, is to be in a position so that if this happens to you,
yes,
you're ready for it.
Yes. Yeah, so it's not uncommon for people to come to our workshops 2, 3, 4 times, meet with an advisor, and not become a client for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah,
which is the idea is to be prepared.
And let's talk to William in the Bay Area. William, are you with Hanson McLean?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, thank you.
What can we do for you?
Do I just start up? Or?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm a retired military, and I also work full-time right now. My wife works full-time. She'll be retired at 67. She's 64 right now. Got to get her into that. And I'm hoping to retire at 62. And the thing is, we just sold our house in California, paid off our retirement home we've been working on for 10 years because we don't have a 401k or anything like that. We got 2 IRAs, but they're pretty small. But between Social Security and my military and her Social Security, we're hoping to have like $4,000 a month.
Okay.
And where are you moving to?
In Nevada.
Where?
Up near the Reno area.
And you have a home paid off there?
Yes, sir.
And what's your question for us?
I was wondering if there's anything I'm missing. I mean, we've got two IRAs. The total between the two of us is like $35,000. I was just going to pull like $300 a month on each one of those.
And do you have a military pension now?
Yes, sir.
And is your wife 100% beneficiary of the military pension?
When I pass, she gets like 60%.
Okay.
Where do you work now?
I'm on base in Travis. I'm down here.
But you're civilian.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Contract.
So
got it.
The only thing different.
Are you renting today in California?
Yeah, we're gonna rent here for another 2 years until I can retire, and by that time she'll be able to retire on Social Security too if she wants to. She said she can work. She can't stop working. She's one of those kind that just won't quit.
Well, that's a good thing though.
Yes, sir.
The only thing I would caution you about is I wouldn't count on any sort of a distribution from those IRAs.
Right.
I
was just going to use them as a supplemental just in case we needed it later.
I'd leave that as a safety net.
You and do. I think another safety net, supplemental, look at later. I would think you'd be too young at this point, but at some point you could use a reverse mortgage
on that the home up in Nevada. But I wouldn't.
I'd wait till you're in your 70s.
I would not start a distribution from that IRA at all. I would do my very best not to touch that. You don't have a much of a safety net at all. And while your income is consistent and you don't have any market risk, there are things that happen in life. And that's why, you know, that last $35,000, I would not take a distribution. And even if I were to take a distribution, you said $300 a month, which actually turns out to be about a 10.5% distribution, which is way too high. Way, three times higher than it should be. So don't take that.
And if your wife wants to keep working, then that's the supplemental income.
That's your supplemental income. And you want to keep your wife working as long as you possibly can. I just think that makes a lot of sense.
For a lot of reasons.
For years.
But yeah, there's no better income than spousal income, so that's what we like to say. So yeah. I think you'll be fine.
I'm working around the house because we got a pretty good piece of property up there.
Where in Nevada? You said outside Reno. Where?
Silver Springs.
Oh, beautiful.
It's actually not too far from the Gigafactory for Tesla.
Yeah, beautiful area.
Try to get a job there.
Beautiful area. So yeah, there's lots of hiring in Nevada. So appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you, William. Appreciate it. And this is a best of program of the Thanksgiving weekend, but we had a voicemail from a caller, and we thought it would be good to play this because it was a great clip. So we're going to play. So I don't typically get these kind of voicemails because we don't do any of these products and don't do this kind of business, but we're going to play a little voicemail that I received this last, in the last couple of weeks.
Hi, Scott. It's been a little while since we last spoke, and I wanted to make sure that you were aware of the 11% commission product that's available in California. It has some fantastic features for your clients. In fact, it offers them a money-back guarantee. I also wanted to let you know about our exclusive leads that are averaging $400,000 in investable assets with an average age of 62. So call me when you get a moment, and I can go over those details with you. Thanks, and have a great day.
Okay, so this voicemail, let's call her Sue because we bleeped out her name.
And we debated
or not, but it's like we didn't want to be sued over this first.
But it had been a while since you had talked to her.
I've never
to the
talked
voicemail.
To her yet. It's been a while. Never had talked to this person. Let's call her Sue. So she leads off with, what's the benefit?
To the broker,
11% commission.
11%.
Now, If you put money in an annuity and it paid the broker an 11% commission,
where'd that money come from?
You.
Yeah. It's actually more than 11%. And let me explain why that is.
Because she represented a company, not the insurance company.
Correct. And if you put $100,000 into one of these products, and they pay the broker 11%. And let's say they say pay the wholesaler 1 or 2%. Now that's 13%. Where did that money come from? Well, the insurance company actually goes out and borrows that money in order to pay the commission. Because all $100,000 of yours actually goes invested. So they go out and borrow money in order to pay the commission to the selling broker or agent.
There's a cost there, obviously.
There's a cost there. And they know that they're going to make up that cost of money over a period of years, sometimes 10, sometimes 8, sometimes 12, sometimes longer. How do they make that up? Well, what they do is they put a big surrender charge on your policy. My guess, I've never seen this product, but my guess is the surrender charge starts at 15%.
That'd be my guess.
Which means that I put my money in this index annuity and I take the money out in the first year. I put 100 grand in, and if I take it out in the first year, I only have $85,000 that comes to me.
Because they recoup the cost for the insurance company.
So what they do is they have high internal expenses over a period of a long period of time in order to pay back the loan that they borrowed to pay the commission.
Here's why I hate these products. Is it possible there's some decent equity index annuities in the marketplace?
Possibly.
Possible. Possibly.
Probable?
My challenge is, one, it's the tremendous conflict that you as an investor are putting on an advisor or a broker when you're buying these products.
I don't understand what that means.
So let's pretend I'm your typical broker today. I'm not a fiduciary.
You're not dressed like that.
Not. Let's assume that either A, I really like money, so I have a lot, but I want a lot more. Or B, reality for a lot of people, I've got my own financial needs. I've got kids at home that have needs, all those things. And I know that I can offer a product with a low commission, maybe a 3% commission.
Which is less expensive to the client, less onerous getting out of the contract.
And the client would end up with a higher return over the long term because there hasn't been so much. But I just got a call from this lady named Sue, and she's offering an 11% commission. So this $100,000 that this client has, instead of making $3,000, I can make $11,000. This is the problem with these things.
But Scott,
remember, think about the financial crisis before that. All these subprime loans, they said a lot of the reasons people got into them is not because they needed them. It's because they had higher commissions paid to the brokers.
But so Scott. So you know some index annuity sales guys are actually listening to our show. We know that because we get the nasty emails from them as to why we always rail on them. Their counter is, well, you charge a fee, Scott.
Correct.
What's the difference?
We charge a fee based upon our clients sticking around, and it's based upon what their account balance is as we journey together. So a client hires us today. If 6 months from now they want to fire us,
it costs them
nothing. Just whatever fee that there was charged during that 6 month period of time, which is a fraction of that, right? A fraction of that.
But
and every day we have to earn our clients' trust to keep them as clients. They're welcome to take their money any day they'd like without any surrender charges.
So, and in most index annuities, you put the money in, the broker gets paid, the agent gets paid all up front. Remember, I use the word agent because you actually don't need a securities license to sell many of these index annuities products. You don't even have to have a background in securities. You don't even have to have a solid understanding of, the insurance test for the Department of Insurance, the state of California, and many other states, actually, you have to have a base knowledge of how index annuities work. But the broker or agent most of the time gets paid all up front.
All up front.
Regardless of the outcome. Regardless of the outcome.
So you invest this money. It turns out that the performance was poor during that time. And the way these products work, the insurance company, I bet most of the people who sell these don't even read the specimen policies. The insurance companies have the power. The insurance companies are not in the business of losing money, just to let you know.
So what the insurance companies do, and if you were to tear these contracts apart and understand them, what they do is they take a large portion of the money and they put it in fixed income products. The income that comes off the fixed income products, they buy options on an underlying index.
Typically the S&P 500.
But they can buy options on other. That is an unwrapped. It is a strategy that has been around for years and years and years and years.
Theoretically, you could build that same strategy yourself without this big expensive insurance product.
Without big commissions with almost no cost associated whatsoever. But when you read the contract themselves, because she used the word money back guarantee. That's what she said.
If you leave the money there long enough, yes, you will get your money back. I'll grant that. Also, if you take your greenbacks and you go to the safe deposit box and put them in there, you'll get your money back there as well.
That is correct.
But for the amount of money, the length you're tying your money up, it's crazy.
And the cost associated with it.
Because you're not
going to
get a high return on these things. And the way they're structured today.
Because of what they call the participation rate.
That and and bond yields are low right now. Insurance companies, they're not going to be able to offer much higher return on these things.
That's what the financial services industry looks like. We see it day in and day out. We see the person that comes
in. This is
in.
Why we don't like equity index annuities. This is the problem when you work with someone who is a part-time fiduciary, doesn't always put your interest at first.
They're conflicted.
There's a huge conflict. If this broker has got several different insurance and equity index annuities, he's looking at his potential client across the table and thinks, if I lock their money up for 15 years, I can make 11%. This product, I'm only going to make 3%. Which one should I push today? Oh, this person has plenty of money.
We see the outcome.
And we're going to throw this challenge out there. So if you are a financial advisor that sells equity index annuities, and you would like to debate this, you think, no, Scott and Pat of Hanson McLean are wrong on this. Equity index annuities are great for these reasons. We invite you to join us on this program.
All of you, if you're from an insurance company, if you're a wholesaler, if you want to debate the merits of your product.
Not today. We will set up a time. You let us know the product. We're going to research the product a bit. We will have an honest conversation on this radio program so other people can hear both sides of the story. We are welcoming that. And if you'd like to join us on that, simply call 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON, or you can email that at info@moneymatters.com.
And this will be the annuity throwdown.
It doesn't get much more. Maybe we'll even get some music behind it. No, but it's a serious issue because we see people taking advantage of it. We see people, they go to these nice steak dinners and they get sold the product. They are only told one portion of it. They think they're going to have this great outcome. The reality is, for the most of the time, they don't have this great outcome. Money's locked up for years. And so we're going to open that challenge. And we're out of time. That's all the time we've had. So hope you enjoyed our Best Up program and hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.